Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. Let's get this straight right off the bat this morning. The federal government had nothing to do with the creation of the Common Core, a new set of education standards that 46 states, including Missouri and Kansas, have adopted. With its focus on English and math, the Common Core is all about setting national standards that seek to better prepare students for college or the workplace. Opponents have started to spring up, including the Kansas Republican Party. The big complaint, the state is losing control over what it's teaching its kids. We'll talk about the Common Core standards in just a moment. Later on this hour, the failed presidency of Warren Harding, and Brian McTavish is back with your weekend to-do list. But first up, the controversy over the Common Core. With us is Jeremy Anderson. He's president of the Education Commission of the States. Jeremy, nice to have you.
Glad to be here. Thanks, Steve.
Tanya Merrigan is executive director of the curriculum and instruction for the Blue Valley School District on the Kansas side. Tanya, nice to have you.
Thank you, good morning. Steve.
Rochelle Daniels is Director of Curriculum and Professional Development for the Kansas City, the North Kansas City School District. Rochelle, nice to have you too.
Thank you for having me.
Good morning. Well, Jeremy, let's start with you. I just wanted to provide some context coming out of the gate here this morning so that our listeners understand the genesis of the Common Core. This is not an initiative of the federal government, so where on earth did it come from?
You know, there's been a lot of talk about that. And I think when you look back in the time frame, about 2005, a lot of the governors got together and pushed for a uniform high school graduation rate. We had different rates all across the country. And they came to consensus on that in 2005. And by 2011, 48 states have uniform high school graduation rates, which was kind of the first move that the governors had made. No federal intervention, no federal assistance in that. And by 2008, a lot of those same governors were in their second terms, and they were having trouble with economic development. They were seeing test scores that showed that compared with other international countries, especially developed countries, the United States was ranking 25th out of the 35 industrialized countries on math scores and with some of the other science scores. And so they started to question, is there a way that we can have some standards that will help to unify what's happening? And in 2009, governors and chief state school officers worked together, and 3 years ago, in 2010, it was actually adopted, and both Kansas and Missouri were two of the 46 states that adopted those.
And basically, this idea sort of took off like wildfire. I mean, 46 of the 50 states already are on board with this thing.
Yeah, and the 46 states are interesting because they're geographically diverse, they're politically diverse on where they are. And it's also interesting to say, you know, the 45 states that adopted it, only seven of the governors who were there when it was adopted are still in office, yet 45 states still have those standards on the books. So even as governors' offices have changed over the last 3 years, the Common Core standards haven't been removed from any state.
And so again, just to explain it a little fuller, the Common Core is designed to do what? What's the idea behind it, Jeremy?
The goal is really to provide a uniform minimum standard so that at every grade level we know if our children are getting the education that will make them ready to join college or the workforce and be prepared for the global economy. The notion of what's going to be taught in the classroom, what the curriculum will be, that's still going to take place in the school districts. It's going to be local school boards. It's going to be local superintendents. I think we'll hear from both Tanya and from Rochelle on how their districts in particular are making those choices on their own, not even with the state intervention.
Well, Tanya Merrigan, let's come to you. Again, you're Executive Director of Curriculum and Instruction for Blue Valley Schools. You've implemented the Common Core this fall. Do I have that right, or was it earlier than this fall?
We've done full implementation this fall, but we've done partial implementation over the last 3 years.
And how has it gone?
It's gone fine. You know, we at a local level are used to having educational standards on a regular basis being revised. So in 2010, we knew that our math and English language arts standards were going to be revised in Kansas. So, again, we're used to taking those standards and then developing our local curriculum around those.
Now, there's already a sense out there, if I'm recalling Joe Robertson's story correctly from the Kansas City Star, that test scores are down. They're not up. Why is that?
Well, we're still being tested on our old standards. So last year, which is what the test scores were indicative of in the Kansas City Star, the test was on the old standards. We've made that transition. So we've transitioned our curriculum, but we haven't transitioned the assessment yet.
Why haven't you transitioned the assessment yet?
The state of Kansas is developing that assessment. And so this year we have an interim assessment that is aligned to the new standards.
But basically you're saying your teachers have adapted pretty well to what's going on here in the classroom. Do I have that right?
Our teachers are doing a fantastic job of adapting to what the curriculum needs to do to assist our students to be prepared for college and career, as he talked about earlier, and to be to be prepared for success.
How big of a change is it for the teachers? I mean, how much new material, how much of a change in their daily instruction are they experiencing?
It's the, you know, it's the art and science of teaching. The science of teaching is the standards. And again, our teachers are used to, on a regular basis, reviewing those standards, having the opportunity to align our curriculum to those. But the art of teaching, they haven't changed. You know, they are professionals. They are still doing that within their job each day.
Rochelle Daniels, again, Director of Curriculum and Professional Development for the North Kansas City School District. How has implementation of Common Core gone up north for you guys?
Definitely. It's been something that teachers are excited about.
They really
see the value that Jeremy described. They see that there is equity now across states as bringing in the Common Core state standards. They also see it as allowing us a greater opportunity for collaboration. We can truly share ideas and resources and professional learning opportunities with our neighbors all around us. And so it's been a very positive thing for us.
So has school gotten tougher for students?
That's a good question. We should probably ask students that, but I would say that the level of rigor has increased to some degree. The text complexity involved with the Common Core certainly is different than where we were, but at the same time, Missouri did have a high level of standard prior to. Our grade and course level expectations are some of the most rigorous in the nation, and so that transition for us has been a little bit more minimal to some degree.
So are students and parents complaining that it's tougher? Too much homework? Can't get stuff done?
No, we don't hear those complaints at all. I really believe that value and the promotion of career and college readiness is what's superseding it all.
Let's get some input here from parents and maybe students themselves who might be listening. If you have thoughts on the Common Core, how it's changed for your son or daughter, 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Our email address, UpToDate@KCUR.org. You can tweet us at KCUR UpToDate. Again, our phone number, 816-235-2888. We're talking about the Common Core here. Joe Robertson, again, who writes about education for the Star, pointed out a few days ago that 7 of 10 Missouri school districts are adopting the Common Core. Rochelle, does that 70% mark surprise you, or is that sort of what you might have expected it to be?
Well, in collaborating with other districts around us, we have seen varied levels of implementation, certainly. And North Kansas City Schools really tried to take an aggressive approach to it and develop our teachers' understanding around the concepts within the Common Core so that it was a smoother transition. I believe others will come on board with that, too. But change is difficult. It can be scary at times. So we're certainly putting things in place.
And so districts had the option of buying in or not buying in. This wasn't forced.
For this time period, yes. We know that the assessment in Missouri will hold us accountable in 2014 and 15.
Meaning so the test is going to change, and everyone knows that. So if they're going to get on board, they better get on board.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How about in Kansas, Tanya? Is it also sort of voluntary here?
We, like North Kansas City, have been working on this for the last several years. Our assessment as well, that's what I was referring to earlier, our assessment as well is changing. This year we have an interim assessment aligned to the new standards. Next year we'll have our full implementation of our new assessment.
So really comparing year to year is going to be tricky for a while, it sounds like.
Very tricky because we've had a different test, correct.
Yeah. Jeremy, again, you have a 10,000-foot view of all this. Jeremy Anderson, president of the Education Commission of the States. What are you hearing across the country now? It appears to me, just from reading, you know, around different newspapers, websites, that you're getting a little more kickback now as these standards go into effect and some folks, you know, not really fully embracing what they're seeing.
Yeah, I think in the States you're hearing a lot of different questions that are coming up. The interesting point is when you talk with chief state school officers or with those in the departments of ed, they've been working on this implementation for the last 3 years or longer in most of the states. And so you see some legislative action even. Here in 2013, there were 5 states who passed laws or executive orders that said we will absolutely not accept any federal regulations or standards on our education standards. But we are going to adopt the Common Core state standards. And it was a way for those states to say, we're not going to allow anything federal in. There's nothing federal in the Common Core, and we are going to move forward with it. And all of those states were in very red states, which was very interesting. The chair of our organization, the Education Commission of the States, is Governor Brian Sandoval from Nevada. And he issued an executive order that was very strong about where they're going to be going and why it's important for their career and workforce standards that he wants to achieve for his state to grow the economy. And that's really how a lot of governors are looking at it.
So states are making a distinction here then. They're seeing there's a distinction between this being not being force-fed by the federal government and a need to sort of ratchet up standards when it comes to English and math.
Absolutely they are. And I think for many of the states, the question is not, do we want these higher standards? The question is, when we get to putting an assessment or the test in place, how are we going to make that transition? In some states, the new assessments, which will be coming from these coalitions, either Smarter Balance or PARC or two of the organizations, the assessments may cost less than they're currently spending. In some states, it may cost a little more. And so it's really the cost of how we're going to fund that assessment across the board in all the states that is under question in the legislatures. In Kansas, they've had electronic testing of their students with computers for multiple years. In Missouri, they still don't have that. And so the questions are really, how do we get to a 21st century technology in the schools so that we can truly test our children? Kansas gets their test results back about 2 weeks after the students take them. Missouri students take their tests in April, get the results back in September. And so those are some of the questions that are going on within the departments of ed and with the legislatures to say, how are we going to fund these assessments? But the standards themselves on the math and on the English and language arts, 46 states jumped on board at the beginning in 2010, and 46 states still have that either from their state board of ed or from their legislature as action that they are pursuing.
Have any states jettisoned the Common Core?
So only one state has passed legislation saying we will absolutely not do the Common Core, and that's Texas, which was not part of the 46 in the beginning.
Good old Texas. Yeah.
There are many states, though, that are having questions right now. I mean, Oklahoma, Wisconsin, and Indiana passed laws saying we're going to put Common Core on hold until we understand what the assessment costs are and what the next steps are. But of the 46 states that were involved in 2010, all of them still have those standards on their books that the schools should be following.
Is there a price tag attached to implementing the Common Core, Jeremy?
There is a price tag for any change like this. The price tag states are dealing with is the cost of the assessment. And honestly,
how expensive is that?
It varies from state. There are states where the assessment that they were currently giving is more expensive than what they will be giving for Common Core. There are other states where there's a bigger investment. Kansas made an investment with bandwidth and IT and computers so that they can deliver these tests electronically. Missouri hasn't made that full switch yet, so there's a bigger investment in Missouri, and they're not alone. There's a lot of states that are in that same situation.
I mean, the kickback you do hear about this, and Tanya, I'll come to you. I mean, you do hear from people who say, we don't even know, you know, this is an experiment. We don't know what the impact of all of this is going to be, so why are we doing it? You hear that a lot. And what do you say in response to that?
Again, I would say that we have had educational standards always in education, and that they are changed in Kansas every 7 to 10 years. Every time we have those, there is a change, and they haven't necessarily been tested, and so that's what we're doing now. The other thing I would say is that these standards have been internationally benchmarked. When they were developed, they took all of the standards from all of the states, and then they benchmarked them against international educational standards as well. So I think they have been benchmarked.
So they have been tested. Mm-hmm. Diane Ravitch, a research professor of education at New York University, she says this, they are being imposed on the children of this nation despite the fact that no one has any idea how they'll affect students, teachers, or schools.
Yeah, they have been tested. They have been, again, internationally benchmarked. Again, standards are broad. They're not your local curriculum. It's that broad overview that we have always had, and then we get to design locally how we're going to meet those.
Jeremy, what would you say about what Diane Ravitch had to say here?
Oh, I think there's a lot of questions out there that people have, and it's a change that's coming quickly. But I think when you look at the states that joined force and said, we want to implement these, they have tailored those standards in their own state to be state-specific. They have then allowed their school districts to have some leeway. I know in some of the states you have up to 15% of the standards that you can tweak to a higher level if you desire as a local district. And it's really about being college and career ready. I mean, I look at the number of states who they have renamed their standards. Arizona's is the college and career ready. That's what their standards are. In Kansas, that's what it is. In Missouri, it's actually called the Missouri Learning Standards. And so this is to the point that we have state school districts and local school districts that are actually investing in how they're going to name this, how they're going to implement it, how they're going to change curriculum to meet the needs.
Rochelle Daniels, if you surveyed your teachers in the North Kansas City School District, what would they say about this? Good thing or bad thing?
I believe they would say it's a good thing again because they see it as fewer, clearer, higher standards than what we had before, but we were in a good place to begin with.
Tanya, how about where you are in Blue Valley schools? What would your teachers say about this?
I would agree with Rochelle.
It'd be a big thumbs up.
This is what's good for kids. These are broad enough standards that we can it isn't telling me what I have to do day one, day two in my classroom. I get to decide that as a teacher, but these are broad, rigorous standards, good for kids.
The Common Core Education Standards, the new Common Core Standards is our topic today. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Let's go to Jake from Kansas City, Missouri. Jake, you're on Up to Date.
Good morning. Just curious where the arts and music programs might wind up, you know, in this move. Will it mean less funding for them and the scurry to make better worker bees? And then who's going to win textbook-wise? You know, who's going to muscle in or be muscled out with the publication of new exorbitantly priced textbooks and things?
Okay, Jake. Tanya, what happens to history, foreign language, other sciences, the arts? What happens to those subjects?
All of those subjects have standards as well, and they are very important. They are not going away. It is very important that our students have the opportunity to take those classes. In many cases, Common Core can fit into those subject areas as well when it's a natural fit. We talk a lot about every teacher's a reading teacher. So if I'm a history teacher, I am teaching my students how to read like a historian so that they can understand those materials. But art, music, PE, all of those are very important and will continue.
Rochelle, what about the textbook question?
I think it's an excellent question because textbooks, those companies will also be raised to that higher standard. They will be asked to respond appropriately, and that will be wonderful to see. We will see those standards then implemented in a higher degree.
Hey, to what extent, Rochelle, are your parents clued into this change? I mean, are parents aware of what's going on here and sort of this big seismic change in the education world?
In North Kansas City, we've tried to speak with them mostly about that career and college readiness piece. They are so anxious to hear how they can get their students prepared for that level of life. And that is where we've really tried to communicate with them more than anything.
What are you finding in Blue Valley?
I would agree with what Rochelle's saying. We are educating our parents, informing them, talking about college and career readiness. We have been doing that for quite a while. In regards to our new Kansas College and Career Readiness Standards, we've made a concentrated effort to make sure parents are aware of that. It's an ongoing effort, like it is with anything that's new. We need to continue to make sure that they are aware.
Our phone number here as we talk about the Common Core Standards, 816-235-2888. Sally from up in Leavenworth. Sally, you're on Up today. Good morning. You there, Sally?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I didn't know you were talking to me directly. Yes.
You're the only Sally in my life right now, Sally.
I'm a substitute teacher in Leavenworth. I've been there for 9 years on and off in the district. And I have, my comment would be that I feel that many of the teachers are overwhelmed by the standards of developing their own lesson plans, by implementation of their lesson plans, and I think it's kind of hurt their sense of creativity in the classroom because they have to adhere to fairly rigorous standards as far as developing their lesson plans. I have an example of one. For example, on a rubric, it says, learning target relevance. Students will read silently or listen to teacher-led reading of the chapter. It is important that students have the ability to read, listen to new information, apply it to their own lives. This is something that's required of them weekly to repeat in their lesson plans. I have one school that I've subbed at, and I'm not slamming the school, but it's overwhelming to the teachers. They have to post their weekly lesson plans outside the door.
Hmm. Sally, do me a favor. Sally, hang on just for half a second. I want to read an email I have here from Sherry from Lee Summit, who writes us this. I'm very concerned about the rigorous grammar standards impairing children's creativity. How free can children be to express themselves at such a young age when writing becomes about so many rules so early on? My son is in first grade, and I'm shocked at the level he's being required to learn. Jeremy Anderson, what about these kinds of concerns about rules and too much too fast?
I think it's a great point, and I think you're seeing states that are actually adopting additional standards and ways for school districts to do that. In Massachusetts, they've gone beyond the state standards, and they actually have some standards for creative writing. And they've actually looked at some standards for pre-K services for the kids who are coming into their K-12. You've also got on the other end of the K-12 spectrum there in the high school level. I mean, in California, they actually set some calculus standards so that they had some guarantee that if students were taking calculus courses, they would probably be able to have them as dual enrollment opportunities if they were going to a post-secondary opportunity. So I think in a lot of the states, there really are flexible ways to adapt to all of this. And I think most of the states are actually doing that. It just hasn't been as publicly noted.
Tanya, Rochelle, are you hearing complaints from your teachers that were, you know, imposing too many rules on kids who are trying just to get out of the box and learn how to write?
Again, I would echo what Tanya said earlier. We've always had standards, and defining those student learning outcomes, then really having the conversation around what curriculum needs to look like, the course to be run, how we accomplish those goals, that's where we really have those fruitful, that input that teachers can provide.
So, Tanya, what Sally's concerns from Leavenworth, what she's expressing, you're not hearing it in Blue Valley.
Our teachers are working very hard. So please don't get me wrong when I say that it's been all easy and there's nothing that they have to do. They work very, very hard. We don't require them to post lesson plans or to do any of the things that Sally talked about. But we are, again, working with them. We have been for the last 3 years on understanding the standards, helping them to individually get to design their curriculum or their lessons at a daily basis.
Okay. Sally, what do you have to say in response to what you just heard from our experts here in the studio?
Well, I'm trying to follow it all because I'm not a pro in education, but I'm very well educated myself. What I have to say is that I think we've reinvented the wheel yet again, and the only thing I can hearken back to is the best educated people I know in the little town of Leavenworth are the ones who are educated in a one-room schoolhouse, maybe using a couple of books, but they have very gifted teachers. They have rich life experiences. And I think that's the thing that I would like to see us go back to. Just keep it simple. You know, we're over complicating education. That's what I have to say.
Sally, I'm glad you called. Thank you for making the effort. I appreciate it. Let's go to Pam from Kansas City, Missouri. Pam, you're on Up to Date. Our topic today, the new Common Core standards in public education. Good morning. You
Hello?
There? Yeah. Hi, Pam. You're on the air.
Thank you. I am curious as to what advice your panel would have to a parent whose students have switched to the Common Core curriculum who are really struggling with the changes.
Hmm. Tanya, what about a parent who's has kids who are struggling?
My very first thing would be to communicate with the teacher and with the school and to look at that student's individual needs. Every school needs to have interventions in place to assist students who are struggling. So I would want to work with that parent and that child to figure out exactly what is the problem. Is it a reading problem? Is it a writing problem? What is it, and what sort of supports can we put in place for that student?
Okay. Does that help, Pam?
I've done that. I'm not seeming to get anywhere.
Yeah.
As a parent, I'm very frustrated, and I've seen my students, I have a third grader and a sixth grader, and they are both really, really struggling.
And they're struggling with math, I think my note says here from my producer, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Especially within the math changes.
Yeah.
Because my third grader, if you ask her what's 2 + 2, the answer is 4. And she knows that. But if you ask her to explain how she knows the answer is 4, she just gets really flustered and almost angry about doing her homework these days.
The new standards require kids to understand why as well as what the answer is, it sounds like you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. Rochelle, any thoughts on this?
again, and discussing it with the teacher to really analyze what needs to be done for that individual student would be my advice. The depth within the mathematical practices within Common Core certainly is different, and so having conversation around that would be important.
We have an email here from Becky who writes, "Our homeschooled children expected to meet these standards. My sister was told if homeschoolers don't meet these standards, they would be removed from the home. I told her she was misinformed." What about homeschoolers? You're shaking your head, Tanya.
I'm not an expert on homeschooling, but I don't believe that they are.
Jeremy?
I haven't heard that in any of the conversations with the state departments of education.
Okay. Let's go back to some calls here. Let's go to Steve from Prairie Village. Steve, you're on Up to Date. Again, our topic, the Common Core standards. Good morning.
Hi there. I got a couple of things. The statement's been made that these standards are internationally benchmarked, but there's no documentation for that, so that's a challenge. Also, the statement's been made that the administrators believe the teachers are really on board with it. I don't think they've really asked the teachers. I happen to know several that are really not on board with it.
Okay.
I
appreciate that. And yeah, go ahead.
I believe change is hard at any level, but our teachers, especially our teacher leaders who have studied the Common Core, think that they are what's best for students. The emphasis on career and college is most important, yeah. And teachers want to do what's best for kids.
Jeremy, when are we going to have a better sense as to how successful, or for that matter, unsuccessful all this has been?
Well, I think implementation in most of these states is really going to take place next year. In Kansas, full implementation is pretty much done this year, and they'll start the first round of the full test next year. So they're a little bit ahead. I think you've seen some states, Tennessee, Kentucky, District of Columbia, who have already moved forward on this, and they're starting to see some outcomes. And it is changing the way the test scores are, but it's also changing the way that they understand how kids can move forward, and it's helping to put more programs there for individual kids to meet those standards so that they can succeed instead of just staying in the same grade or moving to a grade without having really achieved that sense of accomplishment.
I should point out there's going to be a conversation this afternoon, a further conversation about the Common Core standards. The title of the session, Common Core, the Business Case for More Rigorous Education Standards, that'll be at 3:30 this afternoon at the Best Building on the University of Kansas Edwards campus in Overland Park. More information about that event on our website, kcur.org. I want to thank Jeremy Anderson, again, president of the Education Commission of the States, Tanya Merrigan, executive director of curriculum with Blue Valley Schools, and Rochelle Daniels, who's with the North Kansas City School District. Great conversation. Thank you all for coming in.
Thank you.
Good to have you here.
Thanks.